The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, making it through a season of affliction.
Write it down, because you're going to know from now on, well, you know what, I'm being afflicted. And so I think that would probably qualify as, tell me, aren't you glad you came to class today? I want to tell you, you can't just learn this kind of stuff everywhere. This is stuff you have to learn on Wednesdays with a blonde. You do.
Overcoming Affliction, next on Life Today.
Wednesdays with Beth again. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
Yeah, and I love to look at you over here on the monitor. You look so pretty. You dress so nice, and yet you tell me you have a tremendous amount of trouble finding clothes.
It's a challenge sometimes.
You don't like to wear all the dresses that come up about halfway up on your thigh and all that stuff, you know?
No.
No, see, it really is. It's tough to shop, you know. It's a big challenge. And so, you know, Beth is talking about what you probably experienced. So she's got a teaching on affliction. Do you feel like you're afflicted when you go out and try to find something? This is an incredible challenge. But you always look so beautiful.
Well, thank you. I can mix and match and wear again, you know, so that makes it nice.
Let me just tell all of you who are watching, and a lot of you are ladies, I don't know how you feel, but you're beautiful. And I've said many times that every little girl wants to feel pretty. And that little girl never leaves that part. Always want to feel that way. And I think I need to make this very clear, no matter how perfect the father or the husband or the boyfriend, no one can make you feel as pretty as God can, because he sees the real you. And you are beautiful. As a matter of fact, when we conclude after Beth's taught, and we have a chance to bless some people, we want you to get blessed mornings and restful nights, Beth Moore. Blessed mornings and restful nights. And look at this. Morning and evening, I will praise you. This is CDs with great hymns that you love. I mean, the ones you really love. And then here are the hymns, how they were written, how they were inspired, who wrote them, and the history behind the songwriter of the great hymns that you love. I know we've got tremendous praise music. Matter of fact, I say to all the churches that are into more contemporary praise, bring the old hymns back in with the liberty and freedom that we found in the new expression of praise. Don't bury something that God gave us so great. The wiser churches who really reach more people, the ones who know how to bring that balance in, it's healthy. I'm not preaching at you, I'm just encouraging you. But this is awesome. So we'll tell you how to get it. But Beth's going to talk about affliction. Would y'all welcome Beth Moore? Here's Beth Moore.
Reason why this particular chapter is bearing such witness with me right now is because it's part of my memory work. So even though you and I are looking at a different set of scriptures for our coming series, I'm still going to keep us in context, and I'm going to begin you at verse 1. And with my Bible open so that I can check it, I am going to do a little bit of it, whatever I can remember in front of an audience. It's one thing to do it with God all by yourself. It's another thing to be in front of you, but I am going to give it a shot. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame, but they shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O God. Lead me in your paths. Teach me your truth and lead me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, anybody? Nor my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant. Hold it. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Now, I want to tell something to our staff here. I want you to leave that memory work just like that, because that's how memory work takes place. So don't fix it where it just comes out and flows, because we have to be willing to get out there and go, okay, I got to think through what I'm trying to say. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, rescue my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May uprightness and integrity preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Those last verses are what caught my attention recently, because in working on it to commit it to memory, you say it over and over again. And one of the things I like best about the Psalms is it helps you voice something that you did not know you were feeling. And so I was going along with it, and I had by this time memorized well past this portion, almost to the end. But I got to that part of the psalm in chapter 25, where it says in verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. I'm lonely and afflicted. And when I said I'm lonely and afflicted, I choked up. And I stopped before the Lord. And I said, this is one reason I believe in when we can, praying or talking out loud to him, because an emotion will come with it that we're not expecting, that we don't even know is there. When we're thinking it in our mind, it might not be so quick to come, but somehow that faith comes through hearing. Somehow there is power in us even hearing it said, and all of a sudden it pierces our hearts. And I heard myself say with my own mouth, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I'm lonely and afflicted. I said, girlfriend, are you lonely? Are you lonely? And you know, my usual answer would be no. I got people all over me, just like most of you do. Some of you are going, listen, I'm begging for a little loneliness. I could use a little loneliness. But what occurred to me, and this is going to be what our series is about, that when my personal area of affliction, anybody, flares up, there is a loneliness about it. That sense that I don't know a lot of other people that may be dealing with what I'm dealing with right now. And you know what? We've come to expose the lie of the enemy and the lie of our own fleshly thinking. Because what I want you to understand through the coming weeks, and we will take a good amount of time for this series is going to be on affliction. I want everybody to say the word affliction. I want you to say it again, and I want you to almost flick something with your affliction. Amen? I want you to kind of mess up the person's hair in front of you. If you're putting your mascara on, I want you to be able to see it in that mirror. Say, affliction. Come on and bring it.
Affliction.
Affliction. And we're going to build a series of points together. And one of the things they're going to be toward is making us understand how common this condition is to man. redeemed and unbelieving. Part of the human condition is that we often deal with this thing that we're going to pick out. You're going to understand what it is so well that you will be able to define it. When you are experiencing it, you'll be able to say with your open mouth, I am dealing with an affliction. So that no longer will we have to say, Lord, in my affliction, I am alone. Because we are covered in company, I hope to prove to you, socially as well as biblically. And we're going to build on a series of points starting right here. Number one is this. An affliction is something that can make you feel alone. An affliction is something that can make you feel alone. If you are really stepping in this, if this is right where you are right now, you already know this is your lesson. I don't care if you put in, I feel very alone. But I want you to write it out if you can. If you're in a position where you can jot something down, do. If not, we're going to read it to you anyway. An affliction is something that can make you feel alone. And it shouldn't, because we have a whole lot of company. Jot down that page with me to verse 18. It says in verse 16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely. And what is that word? Afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When a trouble, and it may be something that you've had for a very long time, but one day it's just like large in your chest. Anybody? That one day it just seems like it's overwhelming. One day it just seems like you are an arm and another arm and a leg and another leg on one big trouble, that it's so large in you that you cannot escape it. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Verse 18, this is what's going to launch our entire series. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider my affliction and my trouble. Say these words, affliction and trouble.
Affliction and trouble.
Say it one more time.
Affliction and trouble.
Now, if you had to choose between whether you would want an affliction or a trouble, and you had to choose, which would you choose? Why is that? I knew you'd say that. Because I would have said it, and I'm with you, and it will prove true. So you know in advance, for those of you who like to make A's in school, you have already made an A. Really, really good, really, really good. But why, I ask you, I was the kid in class that always had her hand up going, but why? I always had one more question, but explain that to me. Why is it we would rather have a trouble than an affliction? Because clearly, you don't even like the word, do you? I mean, we don't even like the way it feels in our mouth. And I want to just suggest to you that it is because we are not always troubled by our trouble. You know, the Word of God says, Christ Himself told us, listen, in this world you will have, somebody that knows it, tell me, you will have trouble. Oh, you're going to have trouble. Something is out of the ordinary if you don't presently have trouble, because in this world you will have trouble, he says. But take heart, I've overcome the world. The nature of trouble is that sometimes there is trouble, but we're strangely untroubled by the trouble. Can anybody go there with me? I mean, think of a time when you just went, so odd, because really I ought to be so upset. Somebody tell me you've been there, where it's just like, but I'm not. I mean, all this is going on, but I have a really strange peace about me, and I am really shocking myself, and somehow I'm just not really troubled by it. It's a trouble, but I'm not troubled. The nature of an affliction is you cannot be in possession of an affliction without being afflicted. Because what makes an affliction is that it afflicts. Is anybody stepping in there? So I know that is an amazing, I've just given away the brilliance of my mind with an amazing grasp of the obvious. But number two, somebody better tell me what number one was. First of all, somebody might have just joined us. Number one, an affliction is something that can make you feel alone. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. And I want to go back to that for just a moment. Anybody, especially as we go through the concept together, anybody know what I'm talking about an affliction making you feel like you're all alone in it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a big one. That's a big one. Brings us to number two. This is going to be, this is really the one that's so brilliant. An affliction is anything that afflicts. That is number two. Write it down, because you're going to know from now on, well, you know what? I'm being afflicted. And so I think that would probably qualify as, tell me, aren't you glad you came to class today? I'm going to tell you, you can't just learn this kind of stuff everywhere. This is stuff you have to learn on Wednesdays with a blonde. You do. With a bleach blonde at that. You can't get this from a brunette. You can't get that. Is that right? No, this comes from a blonde here. An affliction is anything that what?
Afflicts.
That afflicts. Because it's part of what makes it what it is. It's afflicting. Now, we're going to look at a couple of different biblical definitions. And while we're doing this, I just want to tell you, for those of you who just like are more into Bible study and in-depth study, so that you'll know, we're going to really be working it out in the Old Testament term for affliction, not so much the New. The Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament says that this Hebrew word refers to, and now I'm quoting, a state of oppression or extreme discomfort, and this part I think is really important if you're taking any of this down, physically, mentally, or spiritually. Physically, mentally, or spiritually. A state of oppression or extreme discomfort, physically, mentally, or spiritually. And you're going to see, because I'm going to read you some in just a moment, that this bears out that realm, that broad range definition bears out through virtually every single mention of the word affliction, especially that particular Hebrew word that is in the entire Old Testament. So here's what I want you to understand. It's all sorts of circumstances can bring affliction. I want you to listen carefully, because when we get to the end of it, I want to ask you if you've had one. And then I'm going to be gutsy enough to ask you if you presently have one. Amen? And we're just going to be really out there with it, because that is how we learn. That is how we apply the scriptures. That is how life changes for us.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Well, I'm going to tell you, what I do know is that a lot of times affliction can really increase attitude problems and make them intensify, or it can actually be used as an agent of correction. And attitude, Betty, how we deal with affliction. I like to use the term, are we going to react to what's thrown at us, or what somebody throws at us, or circumstances? Or are we going to respond? And in order to have a healthy response, we need the power of someone stronger than us, the Holy Spirit in us, another one of Jesus, another of the same kind living in us. And Father, I just pray for everyone who feels afflicted. I get a lot of things thrown my way I don't understand. And I know I won't get satisfaction as far as clarification and understanding totally in all areas, but I can learn from them, and that's what I pray. And I pray we'll learn to handle affliction and challenges properly. A proper response. In Jesus' name I pray. I want to show you something that calls for a proper response. I want you just to watch this. We're in that blessed time of the year when we're drilling water wells in as many areas as we can, and we have taken 500 targeted areas. It's an incredible number. I mean, we're trusting God for a miracle to give these people water that will totally change their lives in areas of tremendous need. I want you to watch this.
I've just heard Philana's very sad story, and it breaks my heart what this woman has gone through. It's like several generations have suffered from drinking this water in her family. Her parents died when she was young. She said no one was really there to take care of her. Her daughter died at a young age, and her husband blamed her for it, and so he left her. And now this mother is alone taking care of Tiju. And you know what? Nothing has changed. They're still having to drink the same water. And that water has death in it. She's very concerned. She said, I lie awake at night worrying. What's going to happen to my little boy? What will happen to him if I die from drinking this water? There'll be no one to take care of him. This is a desperate situation, and we need to stop these generations of precious people in this village just dying off because of water, really bad water. It's making them sick. I know we can change that. We can change this for her. We can give them clean water, and in doing that, we give them life, and we stop this generation after generation dying because of water.
You know, that's another mother and grandmother. That is Jeannie Rogers, who has been accepted Christ when she was a teenager. And her son was actually with her on that trip, that mission trip. But Jeannie's talking about what a mother feels. And I know when you see that, Betty, and our viewers are watching and thinking about these children, and that if we could give them a water well, it saves their lives, stops that death cycle.
It does make the difference, James, between life and death. And as I watched that mother caressing her child's head, trying to comfort, everything that she knows to do to help her child, but she's limited. She doesn't have the resources. We can be a part of the solution for helping these mothers care for their children and helping these children live long lives. And that's with the water wells. I hope you will join us and reach out. And nothing else, just think about the mothers and how much they love their children. And I know you'll want to help.
We've targeted at the, let's say, the requests of compassionate missionaries. We've targeted 500 areas in 12 countries of great need. And we're believing God to enable us to drill those 500 wells. As a matter of fact, I'm asking every one of you to pray about drilling a well this year. Betty, you and I have traveled quite a bit together this year. We wrote a pet book about little princes and about all of creation, how God teaches us through the little things around us. And people have brought their children up to meet us. And they'll say, here's a six-year-old, here's an eight-year-old. They drilled a water well, $4,800. How did they do it? Oh, they went and they raised the money. I said, how old are they? 6, 8, 10. And it occurred to me that, you know, when we're talking about drilling wells and there's a world of hurt, what if everyone began to ask God what these little children are asking? Could I drill a well? Well, just make that a prayer request. But keep this in mind. If we're going to drill those 500 wells, we've already targeted the area, the missionaries, they're hopeful. I think they've probably offered some hope to the people that we believe this can happen. Pray. Well, if everybody will do what you can, we'll drill them. Let me give you an example. $48 will give 10 people water for the rest of their life. Could you do that? $144. See, I believe there are different levels at which we've been able to help. We can do it right now. We'll give 30 people water for life. There are some of you who could drill a well. If children can, couples can, businessmen can, moms and dads, grandparents can, study groups, prayer groups, churches can. It's $4,800. Could you give $4,800 or maybe $1,200 or $2,400 and pray three people join you or another person joins you? Would you dial the number right now and say, I want to be an answer to that woman's, that mother's cry, the need of those children? Give the best gift you can. Use a bank card like it's a check. That's how you should use them. But make the best gift you can. We've got some very special gifts for you. We want to give you water for life, literally. Blessed mornings and restful nights, Beth Moore's teaching. Morning and evening praise, beautiful hymns. You're going to love this. And a book to go along with it telling you the stories of the hymns. You make the gift God's put on your heart. Many of you will want to get the beautiful special anniversary, 50th anniversary bronze that we're offering. Water for life. Do what you can.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, I'm convinced that if we show people a pathway to life as far as water, we're going to be able to point them to the water of life. You give people water for life, they're going to want to know about the love, and we can tell them about the water of life, the source of love. Blessed mornings and restful nights. I wonder how many people think they have either, or if they just feel afflicted. And these praise songs will bless you. Help us give life. I'm challenging every one of you watching to make it a prayer goal that you will drill a water well this year, the entire water well. If we've got little children that are doing it, I'm talking about little guys and gals, they're doing it, they make it a goal, and they go to work, and they can do it. You could too. You could find friends, prayer groups, and you could just say, you know what, we're going to trust God, and we're going to do it. I pray we do it this year. I pray we go way beyond anything we ever imagined, because you make it possible. With God, all things are possible. Thank you so much for watching Wednesdays with Beth. Thank all of you.
Tomorrow on Life Today, country music celebrity 2 Foot Fred shares his story of living with dwarfism, depression, and alcoholism. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.